Hey, everybody. How are you? This is Jeannie. I'm sorry, but Dave is in Huntsville, Alabama, and cannot make the call, so you got me again. I'm with Jermaine and Jess, and they're on the phone. They won't be on the live stream, but they'll be able to answer questions, and hopefully we have a great call today with lots of questions. Let's get the little welcoming things out of the way. So we want to welcome all the new mentorship students from Portland, New York, and Indianapolis. I have some upcoming events. So tomorrow and Thursday is the business coaching, and that is going on November 15 and 16 in Rockland. And that will be Dave teaching how to set up your business. And then the sponsorship event is the 17th, 18th, and 19th in Rockland, Mass. And that will be with Nissan Mosery as the head, and I'll be there in the back of the room. We have 120 students, 17 sponsors. It's going to be pretty fantastic. And then Jeff is heading out to the San Francisco and San Jose Immersion. Full bus load of people. It's November 17, 18, and 19, and it's going on in Burlingame. So we wish Jeff lots of luck, lots of good properties. We're going to do a high five, and it's the first one goes out to George Sanchez from Miami, Florida. He recently closed on 42 units in Stuart, Florida. The purchase price was $3.353,500, and he was able to negotiate that down from $3.6 million, which is pretty good. He found the deal through LoopNet, so there are deals available up there if you can find them. Before he bought the property, he ran it through the RE indicator and saw that the property was in a C area but surrounded by an A pocket. Property is sitting on 6 acres of land. Used the equity from another one of his properties for the down payment, and he bought the property at a 7 cap and an 11% cash on cash return. And his value play, he's turning the leasing office into an apartment. So that's great because he'll produce more income there. The second high five goes to our coach, Mike Flaherty from El Dorado Hills, California. This guy is on fire. He has closed 1,019 units totaling $79.1 million in 2017 alone. He's closing on another 97 units on the West Coast next month. He is a crackerjack coach, and he's a crackerjack real estate investor, and we salute him. For all of his accomplishments, he took the education and he ran with it. He knew he had to provide for his family, and he stepped it right up. He followed every direction Dave gave him, and now he's teaching his students how to do the same thing. So we congratulate him. He's a great guy. He'll be a sponsor at the sponsorship event this weekend, too, which is going to be really great. Operator, do we have any questions yet?
Yes, we do. First question comes from Keith. Keith, please go ahead.
Yes. Hi, this is T. I come from California, Irvine. And I have one question.
How are you?
Yes,
what?
I'm wonderful. How are you?
I'm excellent, thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much. I have one question. So I from the Southern California. And I needed to set up my emerging markets. I think the first one will be out of state, which is I focus on Wisconsin. There's one town called Milwaukee and Racine. The second one,
yes.
I want to invest in the California, which I want to do in my backyard. So my question is, is there any emerging market in Southern California I can focus on to do more research?
Yep, I'm going to give you a list. I got it in my little bag of tricks here.
Yes, thank you so much.
I may have to go to my computer, but if I remember, I know that Provo, not Provo, Jermaine, can you help me with that? Because I don't have it up, but I'm going to get it up in a second.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
Okay. I'm looking for my list. Sorry, I should have been more prepared.
Mm-hmm.
There are, I know that Sacramento is a good market.
Sacramento?
Stockton, California, Jeannie.
Stockton. There you go. And can you give them the others on the list?
I certainly will. So we have Santa Rosa, Stockton, Sacramento, and Oakland.
Oakland. Okay. Sacramento and Oakland.
Those are all good markets.
Mm, okay. Thank you.
Yeah, Oakland's really flying along. It's really come a long way in the last 2 years. It's been amazing. Job growths are amazing. They're rehabbing just about the whole entire town. Because years ago, we used to go there, and they told us not to walk the streets alone. And now you can go there, and it's sunny and bright, and things are really moving there.
And what kind of market phase is that? That's a buyer market two or buyer market one?
Well, I think if you can get a good deal with a good cap rate, it doesn't really matter whether it's a buyer's market. If you've got a pocket listing with a motivated seller, that's what really is key. Okay?
Yes. Okay.
Okay, let me add something. This is Jeff Lindahl. If you're in Southern California, you want to look like around Riverside, San Bernardino.
Riverside.
Yeah,
Bernardino.
You know, some markets of these cities. The major cities that really go are the port cities. So you want to look along Long Beach, San Diego. There's not much inventory there, but if you're looking at San Diego, if you go south towards the border, a lot of people are renovating single families and multifamilies in that area.
In the south of the San Diego.
Yeah.
Okay.
Give me a name of a couple of cities. I'll tell you which one it is that I've seen people.
Yes. I know the one market in the in San Bernardino, which is called Ontario. That's before there are a lot of warehouse over there. I think now they're trying to move the warehouse, building another different stuff over there.
Yeah, you got Amazon out there in San Bernardino, which Amazon always brings in tons of jobs. So
yes,
I always follow where Amazon's going, wherever they're going with their warehouse. This has such a big impact. Plus, they do a lot of demographic studies on where they want to be. They look at the infrastructure. They look at trains because they need to get their employees there. So they're looking at infrastructure. So if you know they're spending the time in a development area to put one of their warehouses, that's where you want to be looking to.
Okay. Thank you so much for information.
They're taking over the world.
Yeah.
Yes. And hope you guys have a wonderful day.
Yep, you too.
And you
thank
too.
You.
Nice talking to you.
Okay, Jeannie, we have no further questions at the moment. Just want to remind everyone on the call, if you would like to ask a question, to press star zero for questions, please. Thank you.
Okay, my first question comes from Michelle Jiang. Hi, Dave. Hope this finds you well. I was hoping you can cover the impact of the proposed tax plan on real estate investors, the good, the bad, the ugly. Moreover, if in place, what do you think are legal ways around the mortgage interest deduction elimination? Dave says not to worry about it. Wait until it happens because it may not happen at all. So sorry, Michelle, not the answer you were looking for, but that was Dave's take. I went to him to get the answer because I really didn't know. So that's the answer he gave me. My next question comes from Cora Trissell. She's from San Francisco, California as well. Just curious if the total acquisition cost is 3.202 to acquire a property, what numbers go into that figure? Is that the number I am going to have to raise to get the property? Please explain if you can. So, what the 3.202 acquisition cost is, that's the down payment. So it's either the 75 or 80% down payment that the bank is requiring. It also includes the closing costs, the loan points, the due diligence, any out-of-pocket costs such as earnest money deposits, et cetera. And it also includes any utility deposits and anything that you want to do to renovate the property. All that is the acquisition cost, including your acquisition fee. Hopefully you understand that. So that's the money you raise from your investors to get the property performing and do the things you want to do to make the property shine, maybe new signage, things like that. You're going to raise that right from the beginning so that you get it all done within the first year and have a property that's really exceeding. And the other question is, where is the best place to get the missing number on mill rates multiplied 80% of purchase price for taxes? Well, you can go to the city and get the mill rate from that county. And Jermaine, what is the term that they call that? Do you remember?
The municipality? I don't know.
Yep. You can get the mill rate from there. And our other question is, do I use the purchase price that the broker gives me to calculate the mill rate, or do I use the number that I get with the Holy Trinity? The Holy Trinity is the answer for that. But it's better if you can get the mill rate from the town itself so that you can do your calculations and make sure they're spot on.
Yeah, you need to.
Any other questions, operator?
They need that information.
Go ahead, Jeff.
Because, like, taxes, there's two ways they do it. Point of sale. So when you buy that property, whatever you're paying, point of sale is, that's what you're paying for taxes. So if you underwrite at the old tax bills, that's money coming out of your pocket. You're not going to meet your projections. So you have to see how it's being, like, on the taxes. Basically, you call up the assessor's office and say, hey, ask them how they calculate it. What's the formula? You need to find out what the formula is for that county and for that property and how they do it. Do they do it at point of sale, or is it every like 5 or 6 years and they calculate either the assessed value or how they calculate the purchase price or making that calculation? So it's a key question. It's a key question that your sponsor is going to want to know too. How did you determine how did you underwrite for taxes? Where did you get your information from? So it's one of those. It's like it's an operating expense, but it's one of those ones that are pretty much uncontrollable because it is based on how that county is going to tax that property. So if you don't underwrite at the right price, you could end up.
And that's your bottom line. So you got to make sure. You got to make sure it's right because it could affect your bottom line. If you underestimate, it could hurt the property.
What I always do when I'm looking at going into a market, I look at 7 property packages for that each property, and usually in the same area, same neighborhood. And the brokers, 50% of the time, they'll have the right calculation on there. But they'll tell you what county to go after, and sometimes you just go online, plug the address in. Other times you're going to have to call up, find out exactly how they calculate that. So. Right on, Jeannie.
Real quick, Jeff, and sometimes for people who are looking for mill rates, sometimes you can actually find that information online. So if you go to Google and hit what is the mill rate for this particular county, it sometimes will pop up for you. So you don't have to go all the way to the
Hi, everybody. Okay. This is Jeff. I was talking earlier.
He's the comedian in the office, to be honest with you. Jermaine's the second comedian. I'm the conscientious one. And the
sometimes you got to have fun, Jeannie.
Sometimes you do.
And Jermaine's going to make a command.
Sometimes you do.
No appearance too soon. Just so you know, we just only have one line in Jeannie's room, so that's why we're on separate lines.
Yep.
So,
well, that's good. Jermaine, do you want
to
come and say hello?
But press star zero. We want to take on some questions. We pretty much, Jeannie.
Yeah,
because
I got a lot I can read, but I'd rather hear direct.
Yeah. If you just started out in the program, get on the phone. Let people know where you're at. Where do you have boots on the ground? That person that called in earlier said he's going out to Milwaukee. Well, first thing I do is I look at the flight. Is it an easy flight? Well, the first thing I do, I contact Jeannie and say, hey, you got the list of the current emerging markets? And then with that list, I find out what's an easy flight for me. And then I find out who do I have for boots on the ground? Who can I call up just to verify this property doesn't have too much deferred maintenance? So I figure that out, too. So that's and then I start looking at some properties to see what's out there, see what they're going for, see how much the raise is, how much they're going per unit. It's a lot cheaper in some markets where the units aren't expensive to get that raise for your first deal. So basically that's how we select the first market to go into. The ease of travel, who do you have for boots on the ground, and is that market moving?
Jeff, you're so smart.
And we currently
have
a few questions. Are you ready?
Yep.
Up next, we have Ryan. Ryan, please go ahead.
Hi, guys. My name is Ryan. I just wanted to say first and foremost that we are incredibly excited. We joined and became students on Saturday. It's an honor to be here.
Hey, welcome to the family.
Awesome.
Thank you.
Welcome aboard.
We're very, very excited. So if it's okay, I kind of have two questions.
A little, sure.
Pardon?
All right.
Okay. All right. So first and foremost, we are as acquiring money or funds, or what, should we first and foremost start with a money broker, or should we try to attach to our private money sources first?
Well, my answer is you're going to be raising money every day for the rest of your life. So it's an ongoing thing. If you and your wife are together or you and your partner are together, you got to pick and choose your battles. Who's going to do what? Make the most. I mean, Dave goes out, he finds the deal, he does the due diligence, I raise the money. It's like one thing off his plate that he doesn't have to worry about because I take care of that. So he picks the things that he's good at and he likes to do, and I pick the things I'm good at and I like to do. That's how we make a good team here. So you have to decide that, but you always want to get deal flow, because if one doesn't work out, you want to have a backup, because the last thing you want is to have money waiting to be funded into a deal, but you have no deal that makes sense. So I say you got to do both.
Okay. And we are in Indianapolis. As far as emerging markets within a decent radius, we're central. I mean, you know, Louisville, Des Moines. What would be the most exciting emerging market within the central, mid-east, Indianapolis area?
Indianapolis.
Yeah.
Okay. Dave owns in Anderson. But Fort Wayne is also very good. But Indianapolis is an emerging market.
Okay.
So you don't have to go far.
Great. Well, I mean, if you guys need boots on the ground in Indianapolis, we are here. Just put it out there.
Oh, and I wrote your name down.
Okay. Sounds
great.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Tell Sharon.
Okay.
Say hi.
Okay. Up next, we have Betty. Betty, please go ahead.
Hi, everybody. This is Betty. I'm from Brooklyn, New York, and I joined the mentoring program a couple of weeks ago while I was at the boot camp here in New York. And I've been working on the action plan that they gave us, you know, not without any frustration, of course, because I first tried to find some CCIMs out in Newark, New Jersey, and in Philly, and I couldn't find any. And I've been, you know, combing through the websites that you guys recommended. And I find myself in Cleveland, Ohio, looking at multifamily buildings. So
good market.
That was one of my questions. You think it's a good market? Okay. You know, I also came across a huge 539 unit building. I got all the financials, this and that. And it looks like it's been losing money for the last few years. But, you know, at initial glance, it looks like the rents are pretty low. But what I wanted to know was, do you guys have a template or a spreadsheet to do a four-year? Because I have 4 years of numbers to look at. So I'd like to do a trend analysis to see why they're losing money. And without me having to create it from scratch, I was wondering if you guys have a spreadsheet that you use for this to just spread the P&L.
We don't have one currently.
Well, I'm sure there is something.
Yeah, Don's
working
on it.
I'm sure there's something coming.
Yeah.
Okay, well,
we have a
1 year
projection.
Yeah.
You have 1 year, which could
be. We have 1 year. Yeah.
1 year. But it could be copied over and you can do then like a 4 year trend, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or no?
Yeah.
Okay. And where will I find that?
At the immersion training in New York. You're not going. How come you're not going,
I'm going
again?
I can't go because I'm in I'm traveling.
Oh,
I've
yeah.
already booked a vacation with my kid, my son and his girlfriend to Harry Potter World.
Oh, nice.
So, but I'm going in Danbury to Washington D.C. to the immersion training.
Good. So
I'll get it there.
Yeah, no, we'll send out that template to you for you.
Jeannie, Jeannie, you said something about a real estate indicator. What is that?
That is a software. In fact, Jeff can probably tell you more about it than I can. But it's a software that you can put in your vehicle while you're driving neighborhoods, and it flashes colors and tells you where to stay away from and where to go to. So it has green and beige and red and go ahead, Jeff, you can finish off.
All right. So the revisions to be able to make it mobile isn't totally finished yet, but what it does, it's like it's a software that one of our students created, and he has it. He's one of these guys that did a lot of work with Claritas, all these demographic companies and stuff like that. Plus, he's a real estate broker, so he was like, he'd go down, he'd fly down into a market, get a property under contract, and ended up it being in a D neighborhood. So this guy created the software that across the nation tells you where A, B, C, and D neighborhoods are for multifamily. So you pretty much gain really good market knowledge using this software. For basically knowing where you want to be in a market, whether you're going to spend time analyzing a deal, if it's in a D area, then it's a pretty good deal screener. But it's something it's a tool that we've added. There's a cost to it, but it's called the RE indicator. It's a pretty good tool that I use now just to find out. I can know exactly where I want to be.
A lot of the students are using it and find it very effective so that they're not wasting time on a property that is in such a bad area that they wouldn't buy it anyway. So this, they put it on their computer. It's a software you download to your computer. The cost is $19.95. There is no monthly fee at this point. And it's available for anybody that does want it. And Dave and Scott, they created this. Scott's pretty engineer-minded and he's a pretty brilliant guy. And him and Dave, you know, talked about the features that they would like to see. And Scott was implementing those features, and then we came out with the product.
Well, send it along to me, please. Because I think that would be very helpful.
It costs
$19.95.
Sorry.
Yeah. You mean $19.95?
Right. No, that other 1995.
I got you. Well, let me ask you this. How would you, now, if you're looking at a market where you're not familiar, like I'm looking in Ohio now, and I live in New York, and how will I know if I'm in a D area without your RE indicator?
All right, I'll tell you what to do. Go down to AAA. They have maps of the cities across the United States. Get a map of the city. Take color code. Take highlighters A, B, C, and D. And as you're talking to real estate brokers, property managers, mark up where they say the A, B, C, and D areas are. Go to Chamber of Commerce. Find out if they have a master plan. If they have a master plan, find out
right.
where the path of progress is. Where are they building? Where are they building like the properties? And then you get an idea of where you want to be in the market. Then you'll get an idea if it's an A, B, C, or D area just by talking to people. It's very, very effective.
And Betty, we have a lot of boots on the ground in Ohio. So you could always call us, and we have students in every town. So we can assist you with that too.
Yeah.
And there's no worry of anybody like competing with you on something that you're looking at when you do that, I hope.
No, I have somebody I refer.
Yeah.
Okay. And Jeannie, what was the name of the coach that you said was really on fire?
Michael Flaherty. He's out in California.
Michael Flaherty. He was in the same
Flaherty.
Boat I'm in. I lost my job after 32 years of being a banker last month, and I'm not going back. And I have to do this and make it work because I have to support my family.
That's
so,
the first step, the need.
Yeah. Yes, it really is.
It's not about the want. It's about the need.
Mm-hmm. So I don't know. Maybe I can request him to be my coach. I don't know.
He's not taking on students right now. Yeah.
Oh, he's not. All right.
He's not taking
all right,
students.
Well, you'll be,
he'll be doing deals.
He's too busy. All right. Well, I'm looking forward to getting started and with you guys.
Right on.
Thank you
I'm
so
looking
much.
Forward to seeing you at D.C. My daughter would love to go to Harry Potter World. She keeps telling me, like, when can we go, Dad? Yeah.
You know, and it's my adult son, Lennon, who will also, by the way, be at the immersion training in January. So it's me, Lennon, and his girlfriend. My husband was supposed to go, but his work now, one of his employees is really sick, and he can't leave the business. So it's unfortunate, but, that's life.
Is it your adult son that wants to go to Harry Potter World?
It's my adult son and his girlfriend. Yes, they're big Harry Potter fans.
Yeah. Well, my daughter's
fine. I'm going to go, too,
Montreal.
By the way.
Yeah,
and when I get there,
his
I'm
daughter's in college.
So, well, thank you, everybody.
Well, thank you for the questions, Betty.
Okay, up next we have Steven. Steven, please go ahead.
Hi, this is Steven out in California. How are you today?
We're doing good. I'm glad you were able to log on to the website.
Oh, it was good. I got through. I was using my old email address. It was my bad.
Mm-hmm.
I have a question about, we were speaking with investors here in the local area, and they keep talking about the correction that's coming. And it seems that inevitably there's a correction that's always coming. How do you feel about that right now?
Right now?
Well, Dave says don't worry about it yet.
Yeah.
That was my sentiment exactly when my wife was talking to me. So there's always the fear mongers out there. So I was trying to caution her against that.
We have a great call.
I have
excuse me. Hold on a second, Stephen. Erica Stewart did a great call on how are you financing terms go with a 7 or a 10. So if you Google on the Mastery site, Eric Stewart, right, you'll see his calls, and Jermaine creates bullets, and you'll read his bullets, right?
Uh-huh.
He'll tell you how what to do for financing on the aspect.
Oh, great.
Five-year balloon, maybe a 7 or a 10. But he covers like the whole thing to protect yourself on the financing terms side of it.
Okay. So, perfect. Now, I was looking at – I came across a deal in Tulsa, Oklahoma that we found out later that you said it was an emerging market, one of the top 10. And it's a potential deal. It's not real big, but it looks like something I can get into if, you know, we find the funding. But I cannot go do the due diligence on that. How would you continue with something like this?
Well, how's the financial due
diligence? Well, you would hire a property management company to help, and you'd hire an inspector, but somebody on your team needs to go and do the due diligence.
Okay, unfortunately, I'm so new that I do not have a team established yet.
So what you do, right, is
but
like, have you looked at the current rent roll, the T12s, and like, how's the property look after you looked at that, at the underwriter?
It looks good. The rents are within the market norms. It's not too high. It's not too low. It's a C-class property. I mean, I don't think there's any upside to the rent, but yeah, we got to come down on the numbers. They're asking too much for it. It won't work with the numbers they're asking for. So I've done an analysis on it. I was wondering if I could pass it on to you to look at.
We have the deal submittal form, which you could like
okay.
You can send over, well, we can send it out to you, and like you can look at that, and then send it over to us, and have Ron go through the numbers. Send it over to Ron. He'll go through the numbers and stuff like that with you. He's really good at it. And I know he coaches Ron. Send it over to him.
Right.
The submittal form is like basically everything you need to know about the property. And in particular, like there's a one-sheet thing of like, why is this a good deal? And that why is a good deal is going to be the sizzle that you're going to sell to your private money investors, the sponsor who comes in the deal, if you need a sponsor on it, your lender, you want to tell him where the upside is. So like by doing that, sending it over to him, he'll look at it. He'll see where if it is a deal, if it's a deal that you think you're buying by looking at the financials with you on it.
Okay, perfect. That's perfect. That's my question, essentially. I'm just glad to be part of the family. This is it's a great opportunity, and we're really looking forward to it.
Yeah, so let me if everything's clicking, right, it looks like it's a good deal, you have good value plays, it's like and then you have to, like Jeannie was saying with the caller before, you have to start building your private money list too. So say you start like building that list, okay? It looks like it's a good deal. Then you send in your letter of intent. So when the letter of intent goes in, you're gonna use the one that we have like for the Tory's case study, where you're gonna identify all the other financials. Because when you do the financial due diligence, it's those documents on that checklist is gonna verify the T12s that they're giving you. So once that starts looking clean. That's and you get it on the and it's on a contract. Once it's on the contract, you send your a property management company in that area that you've been like talking to, because it's on a contract.
Yeah.
They won't take a deal from you. And then you get their take. They might not be able to go into the units, right? But you want their take on what they think the cap X is going to be, and their take on the deferred maintenance, the parking lots, the roofs. Get their take. If there's anything like if the balconies are pulling away, they'll let you know. Things like that, because they have an experienced eye for looking at that stuff. Then you feel, and if it's matching what you underwrit at, then you feel comfortable. And then, like, if the financial due diligence are coming in clean, then that's when you start scheduling the inspection to fly down there. You know, everything's looking good on the property. So that's the process. The timing-wise, nothing really gets triggered until you start gathering up that financial due diligence.
Right. And the offering memorandum the offering memorandum that I got, it was posted on LoopNet, is, I mean, it's very complete, but it only shows 1 year. It doesn't give pro forma, though. So it looks like, because they do disclose the rent rolls and everything, it looks like they're actuals. So, yeah, we'll move forward. We'll go ahead and do the analysis form for Ron and get it out to him and take it from there.
Are they giving me an actual, like, T12 that's, like, it's either a PDF or an Excel?
No, it was in the offering memorandum. It was just almost like a PDF file.
All right.
So it wasn't an Excel sheet for it.
So you'll have to call that broker up, right? And say, hey, like, gone through. It looks like it might be a deal. You have something, Jermaine? Okay. So you want to call that broker up, right? And say, hey, I went through the offer memorandum. It looks like maybe something I might want to pursue, but like my lender has like two or three different options, and like he needs to look at the T12s, the rent roll, and if you have any year to dates for 2016, 2015, then you'll get a big picture of what's going on with the property, and he'll send it over to you.
I was looking on the city website.
I'm going to see you, right? So I can answer like all those questions. I'm going to show you how I underwrite deals too. So I'm going to have a good weekend.
When? Are you going to be at the immersion training?
Yeah, San Francisco immersion, yeah. I'll see you on Friday.
Okay, perfect. All right, great.
Yeah.
So then, yeah, I'll talk to you then. I appreciate everything you've given me today.
All right, man. Right on.
Okay, Stephen. Nice to talk to you again.
Likewise, Jeannie. I'll talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Okay, up next we have Ethan. Ethan, please go ahead.
What's up? Hello, Jeff and Jermaine and Jeannie. How are you?
How are you, Ethan?
We're here.
We're good.
I'm lovely. All right, so I have a question on a deal I have. They countered my LOI, but it was just very minimal. I mean, they just said if we have to do an extension, then we have to put up an extra $15K, and that extra $15K is the only thing that goes hard if we get to the point like we need an extension on financing. It's a pretty smoking deal, but it's in a tertiary market in Kansas that is basically the subject to a giant military base. So it's right off of Fort Riley. It's the closest complex to Fort Riley, built in 2006, and they're showing a 15.4 COC. So we're pretty all over the deal. I'm waiting to get some of the financing back, but I have not even looked, and this is the first time I've looked at a deal in a tertiary market. And so I just wanted to get any insights that you guys may have. I mean, I know that obviously the economics of this property and the entire city are really based on Fort Riley. It's, I think, 38,000 people in the city and the 23,000 people on base. So any insights that you guys would lend to me of why I – with what I should, what potential things I should be looking at as, as other things I should keep in mind when I'm looking at a deal, even if the cash on cash works, and it seems like it's a pretty smoking deal.
Is there a way to find out what the kind of profile is and where they're working? Do they all work for that base?
I believe that a majority of them are. I'm still working, so the owner wouldn't actually give me I still haven't gotten the, a T12 from them. They gave me I got all the statements from the management company, who I know has completely blown the deal, which is part of why they're having to sell. And so I had to go and spend about 60 hours pulling all the data and rebuilding and building my own T12 out of it. But it gave me a lot of really good insights on what was going on a month-by-month basis on their rent, rolls. I know that it's probably about 30 to 40% military. families minimum, just because of the fact it's literally as soon as you come off base, it's like a quarter of a mile off of base. It's right across the river.
So my only concern, this is Jermaine, Ethan, and I think you and I had talked about this at one time, is because the majority or most of the units are occupied by military. And the only reason why that may not be a good thing, I think you and I talked about it, is that if the base...
Is Ethan still on the line?
I think he got cut off.
All right. The only thing I wanted to add to Ethan is, like, we always have a clause, and basically it's in your purchase and sale. It's called the effective date. And the effective date is, like, is when everything, you get all your financial due diligence back. And that's when it starts. That's when your effective date starts, and that's when, like, if someone asks you to extend time, well, you're extending time if the effective date has already been activated. If you're not getting all your all the financials back, then your effective date doesn't take place until they get all that stuff to you. All right, operator, who's next?
Okay, up next we have Frank. Frank, please go ahead.
Hello.
Frank, you are live. Can you hear us? I guess he can't. Okay, moving on. Let's go ahead and Mark, please go ahead.
Hi, guys. Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can.
We can.
Awesome. It's Mark Dupuy from Ottawa, Ontario. How are you guys doing?
Good. How are
you? Excellent. Thank you.
Awesome. I just have a question. You guys know kind of where we're at. We're still with the financing. Like, we had to let another deal slide through again. So I'm still struggling with raising the equity part of the stack. So I'm doing all the things that I'm supposed to be doing, but I'm still at zero. I'm still at, you know, still at not raising any funds. So I'm wondering if you guys have some insights for us, what we need to do to kind of break through that, to kind of get this thing moving.
So is this the Louisville deal that you lost?
Yep.
Mark, I'm so sorry.
Yep.
Jeez.
This is the third one.
We worked hard on that.
Yeah, we worked hard on all of them. But... like, I just, you know, I know Jeannie has been feeding us a lot of people and stuff like that, but when I call them, they don't call me back. They don't, you know, like, they say they're going to do stuff, they don't do it. Like, so I haven't raised a single cent, one single dime of private money. So I'm...
Wow.
Yeah, we're at the end of our year, too, like in a couple of weeks. So we're going to be kind of, you know, on our own after that. So... I'm trying to do, you know, trying to figure out what to do. What do I do? I know last time I spoke to Dave, Dave just said, you're doing something wrong, but I don't know what it is. And I'm like, that doesn't help me. That doesn't really help. Like, I need,
you know what?
Obviously,
here's what I say, Mark. Mark, can you just listen for a second? You and Amanda have tried to raise money on three different deals and failed. Now it's time to get someone that raises money very effectively and have a new voice come out of the woods here and help you. So you need to put somebody else on your team that's going to be able, their sole responsibility is nothing but to raise money. And for that, you're going to give them a vested interest in the deal. But right now, you and Amanda cannot do it.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Whether it's the Ottawa thing, it might be because you're a Canadian and you're buying in the United States. I don't know what it is, but you got to take somebody that you've met along the way that has a bubbly personality and will not take no for an answer. And that's what you need.
And I don't disagree with you, Jeannie. It's just I don't have that person. You know what I mean? Like, we've been going and trying to meet people and trying to put a team together. And I recognize that that's where our shortfallings are in the raising of capital. but I don't have a genie on my team that I can say, genie, raise the money. You know what I mean? Like, so I know that's nice to say. It's kind
of like we're going to have to get you one.
Yeah. Because
I'll be putting my thinking cap on to provide you with somebody that I know that's very bubbly and doesn't accept no.
That's great. That would be great because, like I said, that's where I'm at the point now where we're really not really chasing any more deals because it's pointless.
Right. You spent a lot of time and money and energy.
Yeah, exactly.
Just to come up with no pudding.
And that's okay. I mean, that's part of the game, right? Not every deal is going to work. And, you know, I get that. I mean, I've done this enough that, you know, I know how it works. But, you know, every once in a while, you got to have one that happens, right? Like the ones
yes.
that the deals that we found
right.
were really good deals. They're really good deals. But, like, nobody seems
to
be interested
to the Wilson,
in them.
Have you been to Wilson yet?
No, not yet.
Well, Dave's going to bring a team of people on December 4th, and he'll meet you there on the 4th, and it goes on the 5th and the 6th. You just might get lucky, but not just for the Wilson people, the family office people, but the people that Dave's bringing. There's 40 people that have signed up to join him there. Out of those people, I'm sure somebody is going to want to do business with you.
Yeah, I would think so too, but to date we haven't had that stroke of luck.
Well, let's take that offline and talk about it this afternoon. I'll give you a phone call and we can talk.
Okay.
Okay?
Sounds good. Thanks, Jeannie.
I'm sorry about your loss.
Yeah, that's okay. I mean, like I said,
it's like losing a child, isn't it?
Sorry?
It's like losing a child. Because you've been nurturing that Louisville deal for so long.
Yeah, but I mean, I look at it more, it's like I've always said, it's like, yeah, a transaction is great to do, but more important for us to be able to put the right people in place to be able to keep doing transactions. So, I mean, yeah, it's not great that a transaction, you know, couldn't do it, but we're more looking long-term and down the road at sort of how do we make sure that this doesn't happen again? That's why we're here. That's why we're trying to put together that team. So, that's really where, I mean,
well,
you guys know that.
This afternoon, Mark.
Okay, sounds good. Don't call me within the next hour because I'm going to the gym.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, Jeannie.
You're welcome.
Jeannie, just as you're talking, I just got an email from somebody who said that I can help them raise money. I'm that bubbly person that can help them raise money. So if they need help, you can give them my information.
Where is that?
Lisa Mendez.
Say who it is.
Oh.
Everyone stand like
okay.
that. She'll raise money for everyone.
All right. We're going to help Mark out here. All right. Operator, next question.
Okay. Next we have Bill. Go ahead.
Hi. Thank you to be here. How are you guys today?
Good, Bill.
Good.
How are you?
Oh, fabulous. I got dropped from the call. It took a while to get back on for some reason.
Yeah, I know it.
But I actually had two questions. On writing your first LOI, are there key things that we need to put in and or stay away from for better responses?
Well, the best thing you just said was and or. So when you put your letter of intent in, you're going to put it in your name. But make sure you have and or assigns in there so that you can assign it to an LLC and take your name off of it. That's number one. Number two is you want to make sure that you have a clause that states if you fail to obtain conventional financing that you can back out of the deal and get your original deposit back, your earnest money back.
Okay.
You go up to the coaching website, there's like, it's called, on there, like, creating offers. It's,
okay. We don't have our login yet, so we just joined this weekend.
You should have a login. Send me an email.
You should have your login right away.
But if not, you know, send me an email to jlindo@iremontero.com. I'll check your account. And I'll also tell you exactly where that call is. But it's going to be the Torrey case study, right? And my brother Dave goes through the letter of intent of what each paragraph means, so you'll know what the significance is and why you want to have it in there. So you want to review that before you put in the LOI.
Okay.
You want to use that form. Yeah. Yep. So I'm not sure which competency it is offhand because my list of competencies is in the other.
What was the email again?
jlindahl@rementor.com.
Okay. And then my one other question about border cities, like Louisville to the New Albany, Jeffersonville, New Albany area, or border cities to like Evansville, Indiana, right across the river into Kentucky. Because they feed off the bigger cities, and I wasn't sure how those markets were looking.
I think they're pretty good, but you should check out the Economic Development Committee in those markets and see what they're doing about job growth and fixing up downtown areas. That's always a key indicator that they're trying to promote more job growth. More jobs, more apartments, more people. It's like follows a trend. So the Economic Development Committee or the Chamber of Commerce is going to be your best friend in those kind of markets.
Okay, very good. And I believe we're going to the Immersion in Indianapolis on the 8th, 9th, and 10th. So.
All right.
Awesome.
Yeah. You know what, Bill?
Yeah.
The problem might be with your email, all right? This one that's like WAR with like dots. Did you check that email out?
Oh, okay.
That's the one that
I will look at that and see.
Yeah, and if not, right? Is that the email that you typically use?
Yes.
All right, so I'll send you over where you log in. Login is because I have it right here too. So I'll shoot that.
Okay, over. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Hey,
Bill,
right,
when you get
I
the login,
I had looking very forward to the immersion in December. So.
Yep, I'll see you then.
All right, thank you.
Hey,
have
Bill,
a great day.
No problem, Bill. When you get the login, you want to go to competency number 17 to look up that call with Dave and LOI. So. It's called
okay.
Creating offers. All right. So it's competency
number 17.
All right,
very good. I've got it written down. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, we have no further questions at the moment.
Well, it's 2:00, but because we lost a little bit of time, I'm going to ask a couple more questions we have on these papers that were faxed in.
What? I have chili left over from the Patriots game. I'm starving.
Well, you go right ahead then. Jermaine and I will continue on. You think about your stomach, I think about the students. That's how it is. I am a new investor and wanted to know what is your opinion on building multifamily on empty lots, or is it better to start with turnkey properties? Well, we do not usually do development projects, mainly because Dave hasn't got the patience for it. He did one and that was it. We like them already built, in good shape, with a value add. I don't think you should start with an empty lot and build something because it's going to be a year before you get paid anyways. So I would not do that. Is it a good idea to stray from the Holy Trinity if you know that the investors will be getting more on the back end? Well, if you have your investors already in place and you can do that, I wouldn't stray too far because you're going to be able to pay the investors at least an 8% preferred rate of return unless you set it up with them that it's a 50-50 split. I mean, it all depends on the investors. If you know them and know what they can withstand or do without, you know, I say do a partnership if you're going to have that, and then it'll be a 50-50 split across the board. Is this another one?
Yeah, it's from Michelle Jean.
Okay. So here's another one from Michelle Jean. I am new to multifamily investing and signed up for the mentorship program. I have a few deals that meet the Holy Trinity and in the middle of drafting LOIs for each. Can you point out other resources and documents that I can leverage to create my private money package? What about for bank loans? Who can I speak with to get a sponsor? Michelle, you are my student, and I will answer every one of these on our call, and I'll call you this afternoon. And as far as the sponsorship goes, we spoke about that. You call me. You tell me where the deal is, how much it's going for. I supply you a sponsor. So that is Michelle's question. Anybody else that I should answer?
That's it, Gina.
Okay, so it's 203. Operator, do we have any further questions?
Yes, we actually have one, and another one who just pressed star zero. Up next, we have Sachin. Sachin, please go ahead.
Thank you. Hi, Jean. This is Sachin from Santa Clara, California. Me and my business partner, we just signed up for the mentorship and really looking forward to get this thing going. I was wanting to kind of stay within, you know, close distance or proximity of the backyard, if you will. And I'm just wondering, Merced versus Reno, any knowledge or thoughts about that? I know that we have the sort of rule in the Milken report that, you know, if it's between 100 or 200, Merced Reno seem to be just slightly above 100. Is that too late of a market to go into? And is it better to stay within California or Nevada from a, you know, law perspective, where things are perhaps easier from a tenant perspective or purchase perspective or incorporation, et cetera? Just wanted to hear.
Well, let me tell you. Let me mention to you that California is not landlord friendly. So that would be probably the last place I would be looking into. And Boston isn't either. Don't think I'm just picking on California. So the most friendly state is Texas. And there's a list of landlord-friendly states. If you Google the best landlord-friendly states, you'll see Texas is number one. Indianapolis is on there. There's a lot of reasons why you want to buy in a landlord-friendly state, because in California as well as in Boston, somebody can live on your property for a year, not pay you any rent. Then when you want to get them out, the government wants you to help them move. So that is not what you're in this business for. So I would check out landlord-friendly states and pick the one that's closest to you and go there.
Okay, great. Thank you.
You're welcome. Any other questions, operator?
Yes, up next we have Ryan. Ryan, please go ahead.
Hey guys, thanks again for being out. I got one more question.
Hi, Ryan.
For you.
No problem.
Okay. So we, like I said earlier, we are new as of Saturday. We were tasked on Sunday with being ready to write our first LOI on Thursday and another one on Saturday. We have not made first contact with our coach yet. Should we hold off on moving forward in that kind of action until we have at least made first contact with our coach?
Well, you got to make sure you do the numbers before you put in any LOIs.
That's kind of what we were thinking.
Are you confident with your numbers? Want to get an LOI in, you have Jermaine and myself right here in this office that can assist you with checking through your numbers. If you want help, we can help. But you have a coach, and that coach should be, you know, kind of bird-dogging things that you do, especially early on in the putting in an LOI. I mean, if it gets accepted, they're going to be looking at earnest money deposit. Where are you going to get that money?
Right.
So.
Well, that's kind of why I was asking, because Steve on Sunday, he tasked us with being ready to write our first LOI on Thursday and the second on Saturday, and that kind of seemed to me to be a bit far ahead of where we were going to be on Thursday and Saturday.
Yeah. Well, I can see that too, but if you want, you can send the deals to Jermaine and I. We'll look them over until your coach reaches out to you. And if the deals make sense and they meet the Holy Trinity, we'll let you know what to put the offer in at.
Okay. Okay. So I just to clarify, I'm gonna hold off on my LOI until we feel actually comfortable with doing so and have made contact with our coach.
Yeah, I would do that too.
Okay.
Okay.
I appreciate it.
Okay, Ryan.
Thank you.
Okay, up next we have Lisa. Lisa, please go ahead.
Hi, I have a question on, you're just mentioning that California is not landlord friendly. Now, that's residential. Is that true for commercial as well, like commercial retail?
Yep. Yep. Well, oh, no. You're talking about a retail strip mall or something like that?
Yeah, there's a
no,
property.
No,
that
I was not
has.
Considering that.
Okay. Is it okay to ask a commercial property like a strip mall question?
Yeah. If I know the answer, I'll give it.
All right. Very good. So there, it has 11 units. It's in Southern California. It's not on the market yet. It's a friend of a friend that is looking to sell it. What kind of information am I going to ask? I asked for a rent roll and expenses. And they sent, is that what I want, or what kind of questions am I going to ask that I need? Is that correct to still ask for a rent roll and expense?
You do want rent roll and expenses, but you want to know if they're on triple net leases, how long their leases are going for, do they get regular increases in their rent as they're in this triple net lease? What are you responsible for? Are you just responsible for the common areas and the parking lot and the lighting? So there's a lot of questions that you want to ask them, and you're going to need some kind of a commercial analyzer because our underwriting tool is really not commercial-based. So you got to figure out what the tenants are. If they're like stores or restaurants or some have a nail salon and dry cleaners. I mean, I'm visualizing the strip mall we own. You want to make sure that their leases are far enough out that you can really capture and improve and make a good decision based on the tenants that are in there. Because if one goes vacant, because their lease expires, it could take 6 months to a year to fix that up for the next tenant. So there's a lot of ifs when you're doing commercial retail spots.
Okay, so for commercial analyzer, do you guys recommend, or do I just look out for one?
Well, I would start searching on your own. We do recommend one. Is this Lisa Zanner?
No, this is Lisa out in California.
What's your last name?
Mendez.
Oh, Mendez. Okay, so what I would like you to do is email me. And if you can email me the particulars on the deal, I'll try to analyze it for you because I have an underwriting for commercial. But and I'll tell you at that time what we recommend you do.
Okay, great. And can I get your email real quick, please?
Yep, it's janennie@rementor.com.
Okay, and then my last question would be, I know there's in my market, there's going to be the bus tour this weekend, and there's another annual event going on this weekend. And what was that? Can I get more information on that? Or
yes, it is called the sponsorship event, and it goes once a year, and it's where 120 students and 17 sponsors come to the event, and the sponsors sit at a table, one sponsor at each table, and nine students at each table. The students stay at the same table all weekend, but the sponsors move from table to table to table. so that they let you know the types of deals they will invest in so that you can go out and find those deals. And you can really network with people to find money for your deal, find sponsors for your deal, find like bird dogs to go out and find properties for you. There's a lot of networking that goes on. Nissan Mosery is there as well as myself. And Nissan will go through a whole due diligence process. It's pretty intense, and it's a great event. I think it's one of our best events, truthfully.
And that's, where is that at?
That is in Boston on the 17th, 18th, and 19th. And we only do that once a year.
Gotcha. Okay. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, up next we have Mark. Mark, please go ahead.
Good afternoon.
Hi.
How are you?
Excellent.
I'm calling. So I wanted to ask you a couple of questions real quickly. I know time is tight.
Okay.
I'm working with a private equity fund manager who's just hooked up with a hedge fund, and they're looking for properties of 100 units and more. But they don't want them listed. And I was wondering what avenues could, besides something like LoopNet, because that's broadcast all over the place.
No, you're not going to go to LoopNet.
Yeah.
You've got to go to the brokers. You got to go to brokers and tell them you got somebody that's going to pay cash for properties. You're looking for an off-market deal. Or you got to do a mailing to a motivated seller. So you got to do a circumference of where they want to invest and send a mailing out with what you're looking for and who responds. It's going to be an off-market listing. But I think the brokers is going to be your best bet.
So would they have a deal that are not listed?
Yes. They call those pocket listings.
Pocket listings, yeah. Oh, okay.
Yes.
And then
that means they're not on the market. They're listed for their, and they're going to reach out to their preferred customers before they put it on the market.
I see. Okay. Then, as far as me getting paid, do I work with an acquisition fee or a non-circumvent contract? What's the best way to do that?
Well, I mean, if I were you, I would want to be a part of the deal because then you're going to get cash flow all the time and a piece of the deal, so you get some equity going on when they decide to sell it. I mean, if you want, you can get a one quick bang. I mean, I don't know what they'd pay you, maybe 3-4% like a broker would earn. But I think you should get a percentage of the deal, maybe 5% of their side of the deal.
What would be the legal structure for that? They're working with a hedge fund. So they're private equity people, but they're hedge funds. Mm-hmm. They're working with hedge funds too. I'm just asking, how would they? How would I get to a legal arrangement with them?
You would call your attorney and ask them to draft up something for you. We're not legal people here. We don't give that kind of advice. But how do you know these equity people are going to work with you solely? Or are they going to have a bunch of people doing what they're asking you to do?
That's a good question. I can't answer that directly, yeah.
You better get answers so that they don't just snuff you out. And I can tell you, a hedge fund at this time of the year, they're looking to place their money, because if they don't place their money, they're going to lose it and they won't get it next year. So if they're allotted $50 million a year and they only spend $35 million, next year they're only getting $35 million. And if they don't use all of that, they're only going to get the portion of what they used. So they're probably in the market to find properties in a hurry because the end of the year is coming.
Okay. Well, this makes a lot of sense, that, you know, especially your last statement. You know, like you say, they're rushing towards the end of the year.
Yeah, they use it. If they don't use it, they lose it.
Okay. Now, in addition to brokers, are there any websites that you know of that I could try to find deals that are off market?
Yeah, where are you located?
Chicago.
You can go to Chicago REIA, or you can go right on to websites like CB Richard Ellis, Marcus and Millichap, I can't think, Colliers, there's a ton of them, ARA. Just type in brokers in Chicago, Illinois, and it'll come up with a whole list of companies. And call them individually and ask them if they have any off-market listings, because you got somebody that wants to pay cash, because that's what these hedge funds do. They pay cash for it.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay?
Okay. Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Good luck.
Have a good day.
Thanks.
Okay. Next, we have Arlene. Arlene, please go ahead.
Hi, everyone. How are you?
Hi, Arlene. Good, thank you.
Hi. I'm also fairly new to this investment, and my question is, I'm here from Northern California, and I look, actually look in Sacramento, and I heard you that it's not a landlord-friendly, so I was looking into Provo, Utah. And
yep.
It looks like there's
there's a lot of
constructions going on, and I know there's I think Google in there and other business.
All right, last one.
Is that a good market, emerging market?
Provo is a very good market.
Great. Okay. So another question is, is it better to invest, because there's a lot of apartment buildings for students? And,
student housing is very good if the parents lease the property, not if you're leasing it to the college student. But if the parents lease it on a yearly basis, it can be very, very fruitful.
Okay. Is there in particular place there? Because it's like there's like a lot of open market there, like off-market apartment buildings.
Well, you need to find out what's the population in the areas and what is right near the universities. You don't want one where they have to have a car to get there.
Okay.
You want within walking distance.
Okay, that's what I was kind of. And
one that has a library and things like that. You want a pretty good-sized university.
Okay, so near the university. And so my other thing, too, is my brother is my partner, and I'm having a hard time to get him on board with me because he's working. I'm also working. So pretty much I'm doing all the research and things. Is it possible, like, to get another partner, just not more than two? Can I get another partner?
No. You're in this program, you're allowed yourself and a guest.
Okay.
And if your brother's the partner, your brother's the partner. So you've got to have a heart to heart with him and say you either are in or you're out. And because you can only have one.
I see. Okay. So if he's not interested, I could find another person, right?
Have you just signed up recently?
Okay. Yes, just this November.
Yeah, then you can switch as long as it's within the first 30 days.
You can switch your
partner out.
Okay.
So
you mentioned about the sponsorship. It's only like once a year. And because I won't be able to make it this year, when is the next one? And also, can I attend if my membership expires?
Well, you have it for a year. The next one will be next November, so.
Okay.
You'll be okay to go to it.
Okay. Well, I attended like first week of November, so I hope it's every November.
Yep.
Okay. Okay.
Yep.
Before. Okay. So when I find out that apartment has, you know, everything is on it, I have made an offer, is it best to go see the place? Or how do I know, because, you know, I need to see the place too, but what is the process?
Do you have a coach? Do you have a coach yet?
Yes, I do.
Who is your coach?
It's Ron Jung.
Okay, are you asking him these questions?
No, this is my first time I attended this conference, so
okay.
Haven't, yeah.
All right, you need to write a list of questions and put his feet to the fire and have him answer every single one.
No.
Okay?
Okay, yeah.
Okay, put his feet to the fire, just like you're going to put your brother's feet to the fire.
Okay. All right.
Okay?
Thank you so much, Jenny.
All right, my pleasure. I guess that's going to be it for today, guys. It's 2:23. Sorry about the little losing the call. Jeff, you got anything you want to add?
Nope. Looking forward to meeting everyone this weekend at the San Francisco Emerging Market. I got New York coming up December 1st and Indiana the week after that. So if you want to go to Emergence, learn how Dave's acquisition team underwrites deals, come on down.
And Jermaine, do you have any last minute pearls of wisdom?
Well, just because this is Dave's call, we'll say what Dave would do at the end of a call. You guys got a homework assignment. You know your homework assignment. You should be getting in two networking situations and putting in two LOIs. So you should be doing that.
And remember, this call is recorded, so it'll be uploaded up to the Mastery Coaching website for you to review later on, because there was so much good stuff that was discussed.
For everyone that's coming to the sponsorship, I will be spending time with you this weekend, and the business coaching is tomorrow and Thursday. I'll be there as well, and we're going to come over to the office, and we're going to take a little bus over here from the hotel. We're going to walk through and meet everybody that works here, and then we're going to go into the Harvard Club and walk the hallowed walls of the Harvard Club, meet the Kennedys on the wall, and it'll be awesome. So see you later, everybody. Have a happy Thanksgiving. I don't think I'll be on the call next week, but you never know. I might be. Take care, everyone. Bye-bye.
Bye.
This is Alex.
Bye.